John, oh, did I? Do I need that or just use this? Seems like I'm always following Brother John, and I don't like that, folks. So I hope everybody had a good week. I know we've really been enjoying our men's prayer breakfast, and what a blessing that's been to, I think, to the church. I hope to the church. And is this on? I don't see a light.
Hold it down for about 2 seconds.
Okay. All right, so. Okay, guys, remember last week we started, and anybody remember where we started at? First thing. No, before that. Before Matthew, where did we start out? Huh? Where's the faith chapter? Hebrews chapter 11, and I'm just gonna touch on that real quick. I know with me, I'm the chief of the sinners, and with me, faith just is really, I mean, I have to work on that a lot. And you know, I know without faith, it's impossible to please God, and that's what this verse says. And we've all, I think pretty much everybody here knows the Lord Jesus Christ, and it takes faith to do that. But in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." So there's three things there, and I went over that last week, and I want to do it real quick here. So without faith, it is impossible to please God. You know, it takes, like I said, it takes faith to come to Him and believe Him, but after that, you start exercising that. So it takes faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. The second thing, you have to believe that He is the one true God, and then He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So that's always a big deal, to diligently seek Him. And then we went through, does anybody remember what deity means? What does deity mean? Huh? The Godhead, correct, sorry. I need hearing aids, so. So what we're going to do is we're going to start out again this morning in John. We're going to start out John chapter 5. There again, we're going to be all over the Bible. And I want to start out with a word of prayer first. Lord, we just come to You now, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord. And Lord, someday every knee shall bow to Him. And we're going to see that in the Scripture today, Lord. And Lord, I just ask You to put me to the side, put my flesh to the side, Lord, and speak through me, Lord, and don't let me be out of line in any way. Control me, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, John chapter 5. We're going to start out in verse 17. John chapter 5 and verse 17. Okay? All right. John 5:17, and it says, "But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto," hitherto meaning to this time. "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." In verse 18 it says, "Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill Him, because He not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was His Father, making Him equal with God." Now, in verses 17 all the way basically to the end of the chapter, verse 47, We see Jesus asserts his authority, which he based on his special relationship with the Father, God. The Jews were perfectly aware that Jesus was claiming full deity and equality with God in verse 18, where it said that. And then in verses 19 through 27, Christ's authority is seen in his resurrection in verse 21. Let me read that. For as the Father raised up the dead and quickened them, even so the Son quicketh whom he will. And we see his authority in the resurrection in verse 25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they shall hear, and they that hear shall live. We also see him, his authority in the resurrection in verse 26, and it says, For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. And then we also, in that set of scriptures, we see his authority over judgment. We see that in verse 22 and 23. It says, For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honored the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, whom sent him. We also see it in verse 27. And he hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of God. Now, God will, at some point, make Christ judge over all things, just so he can be honored. Now, for those who believe, we see that we went by verse 24, but in 24 it says, Verily, 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 I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath, H-A-T-H, that's present tense, folks, hath eternal everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. So basically what that's saying is, when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, you have everlasting life. You pass, the verse says, you pass from death unto life. Okay, now, let's go to John chapter 10. A few chapters over. John chapter 10. And we're going to start in verse 30 there. I'm going to read through 30 through 38. And it says, I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, For good works we stone thee not, but for blasphemy. And because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Jesus answered them, Is it not written in your law, I said, Ye are gods, little g, gods. If he called them gods, little g, unto whom the word of God, big G, that stands for God himself, came, and the scriptures cannot be broken, say ye of him who the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, Thou blasphemest, because I said I am the Son of God. It's a question he's asking there. Verse 37, If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. And then I'm just going to read another couple of verses. You can turn there if you want, or not. 17:11. I'll be right back to there. 17:11 says, And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep thou thine own name, those who have thou hast given us me, that they may be one as we are one. the deity and the Godhead. You see it in that verse. Excuse me. And then in verse 22, same chapter, you see it again. It says, "And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one." Okay, now back in verse chapter 10, in verse 30, and it says that he is the Godhead. I and my Father are one. That's what he's saying. So whenever Christ's Godhead was challenged by the people, Jesus always appealed to his works. And the reason was simple. Hundreds of miracles has he done without, how many failures did he have in his miracles? Zero, none. So he had no failures. Therefore, Jesus had to be God, the Godhead, the deity of Christ. No failures whatsoever. You know, now you have these preachers out there that, I'm not going to name any names, but they're healing ministries, so to speak. They have many failures. If they had no failures, why don't they go to the hospitals? And then when they walk out of the hospital, everybody walks behind them. You know, that's not the way Jesus was. He had absolutely no failures. Okay, the Jews were expecting something to happen when the Messiah appeared. And many still do today. And it will be spectacular at his second coming. Believe me, folks. Many have refused to believe that Jesus could be God back then because of his simple approach. They were expecting a king to come in, but as it was, it didn't happen that way. He was a king, but he was very mild and humble. Many rejected what he had to say before they even considered what he really was saying. They immediately accused him of blasphemy when he claimed to be God without giving him a fair chance. Therefore, in verses 34 and 35, Jesus makes a comparison with the Old Testament prophets who were called gods, with a little g, by pagans of their days. Men like Moses. Moses was called God. Did you see that in Exodus 7:1? Daniel in Daniel 4:9. They were all called gods. Gods, a little g, because of special powers that God had given them. And I even think of Paul. When Paul was on, I think it was his second missionary journey, when the viper clamped onto him and the people saw it, and he shook it off of him, and they watched him, and they called him a god. They say he must be a god. Now, in verses 34, Jesus is referring back to Psalms 82:6, and I'll read that to you. "I have said, ye are gods, all of you are children of the Most High." Gods with a little g. Now, this verse referred to in Psalms actually had to do with human judges deciding civil court cases. So Jesus was making this comparison to show the people that they do indeed refer to different people than me. Why should they be hypocrites and accuse him of blasphemy when he used the same terms while refusing to listen to the evidence he backed up by his claims? You know, and then I go back to his miracles. He didn't have any failures on those miracles. But they looked to Moses and Daniel and called them gods. And then they didn't call them blasphemers, but they did him. Okay, now, let's go to John. See, we're still there. John 10:38. Let's go to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. Excuse me. John chapter 20. We're going to start at verse 19. John 20:19. And it says, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. And as my Father has sent me, even so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sin ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the prints of the nails, and put my fingers into the prints of the nails, excuse me, thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Now, that's kind of where Thomas gets the nickname of Doubting Thomas. Okay? Verse 26, and it says, after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the door being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hands, and thrust them into my side, and be not faithless, but believe. And Thomas answered and said unto them, what did he say? My Lord and my God, the deity, the Godhead. That's what I see there. And then verse 29, Jesus saith unto them, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believe. That's us, folks. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, blessed are you, because you have not seen him in person, in his physical body. They had. We haven't. So you are considered blessed, what it says here. All right. That was John chapter 20. Okay, now, let's go over to Philippians. Over to Philippians. Chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And we're going to start out in verse 5. Philippians 2:5. And it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Jesus Christ, whom being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Folks, the Jews didn't think Jesus was coming that way. He was not going to be a mere man, a mortal man. He was going to come as a king. He didn't come that way. Verse 9, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him the name, a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, in verse 6, we see in the form of God. You see the God. I see the Godhead there. Verse 7, made himself of no reputation. Or he literally emptied of himself to come to earth, because he had to leave everything. You know, he had the power to do anything he wanted to do, but he didn't want to do that. He come as a humble servant. Okay, Christ, the emptying of Christ during his incarnation or his time on earth doesn't mean that he surrendered any of the attributes of deity, but that he took on the limitations of humanity, what he did. Now, he was completely God and truly man. To deny either one, folks, To deny the deity or the humanity of Christ requires denying the other one. So if you're going to deny the deity of Christ, you have to deny being a human. Sorry. So you can't deny either one of them. Okay, now, we're going to go to Colossians, next book over. Colossians, chapter 1. I don't usually get a dry mouth, but when you stand up in front of people, it tends to make me that way. Okay, Colossians chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 15. It says, "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. For it pleases the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven." So in verse 15 it says, the image of the invisible God. I see the Godhead there. Now hold that, but let's just go over to 1 Timothy 1, 1 Timothy 3, I'm sorry. And many of you probably know this verse, 1 Timothy 3:16. And it says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." So God was manifested in the flesh. That's the Godhead, the deity. Now, in verse 16, back over in Colossians, we see by him and for him. So by him he did all things, and he did it for him. See, the deity, the Godhead. Verse 17, we see by him all things consist. Verse 18, it says, "Who is the beginning?" Verse 19, "All fullness dwell." And then in verse 20, "To reconcile all things to himself." Reconcile meaning to call back into union. Christ is the remedy for the alienation from God that Adam did when he sinned and passed it on to all of us. Christ is that, he was the one that reconciled us back to God. All right, now, let's go to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1. We're going to start out in verse 1. Hebrews 1. Hebrews 1 verse 1 says, "God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by the Son, whom he hath appointed heirs of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, whom being the brightness of his glory and the expressed image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, and again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Verse 6. And again, when he bringeth in the firstborn into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. Verse 7. And of the angels he saith, and who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire? But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever, a sceptre of righteousness, and the sceptre of the kingdom. Verse 9, thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above all thy fellows. Now, in verse 2, we see in the last days. This is meaning the entire gospel dispensation. That's from Christ's first advent when he came to the earth, all the way to the second advent when he comes back with us. That's after the rapture. He comes back with us at the second advent. And then in verse 2, it also says, he made the worlds. So literally, he made the ages. Time as we know it is when? I went over that last week. How do we know time as we know it? That's right. Genesis 1:1 all the way through Revelations 22:21. That's how we know time. Before that, you had eternity past. After that, you're going to have eternity future. Okay, so he made the all the materials of the world. Then in verse 3, it says brightness. Let me read that. Who being the brightness of his glory. Brightness is a flood of resplendent shining light or radiance. The word meaning outshining, not a reflection. The light is coming from him. It's not reflecting from nobody else. The light that he's going to have comes from him. And then it goes on to say the expressed image of his person. So literally the exact representation of God's essence or his nature. I see the Godhead right there. Now folks, these expressions in verse 3 are strong asserts of the deity of the Godhead of Christ. And he sat down on the right hand of majesty on high. Now this picture of Christ being seated indicates the work of his once and for all sacrifice for sin. We see that in Hebrews 10:10. Let's go there real quick. Hebrews 10:10. Trying to get through here. Hebrews 10:10 says, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the blood of Jesus Christ once for all. And then you also stay there, you also see it in verse 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin, forever sat down on the right hand side of God. Right hand meaning the place of honor. Okay. Then in verse 8, let's read that. It says, but unto the Son he saith. Now, who's saying this? But unto the Son, he's saying it. Anybody, who's saying this? God. God the Father is talking to who? God the Son, Jesus. Saying, thy throne is forever and ever. That's a picture of the deity, the Christ, the Godhead of Christ. Now, let's go to Revelations and I should be able to finish up with this. Revelations. And we're going to go to Revelations 1. Revelations 1, 17. Revelations 1, 17 says, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive evermore. evermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. And then if you look over in verse, the same chapter, chapter 1, verse 8, it says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. So the Alpha and the Omega, anybody know what that is, what that refers to? The first and last of the Hebrew alphabet. Hebrew, isn't it? Greek alphabet. Okay, thank you. So that's the first and the last. He is the beginning. He was in the beginning. He was with God. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. He was in the beginning. He's going to be at the ending. He's going to be the judge of all times, which was, which is, and which was, and which is to come. He is the Emmanuel, Matthew 1, 27 or 23. Emmanuel, God with us. Okay, folks, He is the beginning and the ending. He is the Godhead. He is the deity of Christ. I hope you got something out of this. I know this lesson blessed me so much, and I hope you got something out of it. I know I did, and thank you. And next week I'm going to be teaching on the doctrine of the security of the believer, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. I know it was to me when after I was saved for a long time, when I started looking at the security of a believer or the assurance. It's very, very good, and all believers need to know it, and I hope I'll be preaching to the choir on that. So, okay, that's it. Let me close in prayer. Lord, we just thank You, Father, for Your Word, Lord, and I know I don't do it justice, but Lord, Your Word is the same today as it was yesterday, and Lord, Your Word is great to us, Father. It's the way we learn from You, and we're able to try and walk by Your Word, Lord. And I know I fail You many times at that, Lord, but just help us all, Father, to look to You for our guidance and our help. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.